We continue reading through the Gospel of Luke, now according to the 13th chapter. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we will actually be focusing on the Isaiah reading, which is closely related to our gospel reading. I encourage you to keep it in front of you, it's on the back of your bulletin, for the next few minutes. It is such an incredible piece of God's word that we could easily spend hours studying it. Don't worry, I'm not going to go that long. But this teaching from the Old Testament book from Isaiah is one of my favorite pieces of scripture. You'll soon learn that I say that a lot about a lot of different readings, but this one is easily in the top 10. We leap into the book of Isaiah as the remnant of Israel is returning from exile. For years, they have been cast out of their own land, worshiping without a temple. They're anxious to get back their life as they once knew it. And get their religious community to life as it should be. And what does God's word say to them at this point as they're making their plans? Essentially, it's a lot of talk about slowing down in order that those returned exiles could get reacquainted with God and heal some very deep wounds in their community. This morning, our reading gives us the unusual pairing of a to-do list and the firm order to rest in the presence of God, or in other words, to honor the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. I have never had a great relationship with the Sabbath day. Maybe it's because I'm a church worker, but it also could be that I just don't rest very well. It's been a commandment that I feel like I could take a little less seriously than those other ones. About 8 years ago, I was about a year and a half into my life as a young, clueless mother, and I was working at a church in Grand Forks, North Dakota. I received in my church mailbox a brochure for a retreat that was called Sabbath, and it was meant just for young church workers. It was held at a monastery in Winnipeg, Canada, 3 days of quiet, rest, worship, and sessions with a spiritual director, with one of the sisters who lived there. It would be my first time away from my little one who had been sick with chronic ear infections for months. So I handed her off to loving family and crossed the border into rest and Sabbath. The monastery was beautiful and quiet, just like the brochure had promised. And during my first morning there, I was to meet with Sister Helen for spiritual direction. She met with me in a cozy little room to discuss my joys and fears, to hear about my professional work and my work as a mother. She asked about my family and relationship. She asked about my heartaches and where I found a centering touchstone. After this lengthy and important conversation, Sister Helen offered counsel for a focus for my retreat. I knew this was coming. A few of the other retreat participants had already been given their Sabbath assignment, and it all manifested in different ways. Some were encouraged to spend their time walking the labyrinth, others to take a vow of silence for 24 hours, others a fast or reading assignments, and so on. Sister Helen was a woman who exuded wisdom and strength, and I was very anxious for my assignment. So she gave me the focus of sleep. Sister Helen suggested I take a nap every day, maybe two. I was unimpressed. Did she not think that I was capable of profound reflection? Was I not spiritual enough to be found walking the labyrinth for hours on end? I wanted to leave the monastery, aglow with new insights, spiritual depth that just bubbled out of me. How was any of that going to happen if I spent my time sleeping in the afternoons while everyone was off discovering new spiritual depths? So I asked my question of this wise sister and told her I would feel embarrassed to be resting during a meaningful retreat time. Sister Helen, with a very tender touch, leaned towards me and said, "Elizabeth, give it a rest." Sabbath is God's gift to you. How can you possibly take in anything this time has to offer when you clearly need physical respite? She explained to me that honoring the Sabbath was really honoring our identity as God's children. And how we can do that, we can honor our identity more honestly when we are combating the excess that is in our lives. For someone whose mouth is always moving, a day of silence. For someone who spends their day in theory and abstract thinking, a day of tangible work. The sister finally connected the dots for me when she said that whatever was so consuming to any individual was certainly moving them away from the gifts that God offers. Sister Helen surmised that I had an excess of awake and busy hours as a young mother. And I worked hard to maintain a sense of self-sufficiency and control that I like to have over my life. So I needed to understand the permission to fall deep into God's mercy and Sabbath. I have tried and failed and tried again to carry Sister Helen's counsel with me ever since that important conversation. She took the commandment, the law of the Sabbath, the identifying of excess and what was present in my life that pushes God aside. She took all of this and set it in the loving hands of God. "Give it a rest" may have been the most beautiful thing I could have heard for that season of my life. Not that I really appreciated it. Though the discipline of rest and focus on God, I discovered a freedom to trust in God above myself, which allowed me to be attentive to God's work of healing and liberation, which is so much more important than my work. Now I know I am not the only one who struggles with the command and gift of the Sabbath. For its entire existence, the church has been really good at doing stuff. Even the people that were being addressed in the book of Isaiah that we heard about, they were preparing to do stuff. They were planning on rebuilding their temple and getting their community back in order. But I do not think that this reading that we heard, with all of its beautiful imagery, is about creating the best church program. We're having the most amazing church building. The voice of the prophet speaks into all this doing and tells them to stop. Stop trampling on the Sabbath. Stop pursuing your own affairs and interests, which we so often do with the best of intentions. The prophet is not giving people of faith another to-do list in which rest just happens to be on there. The prophet is looking at the relationships that existed in the community and saw greed and fear there. And most importantly, the prophet is turning the people of Israel back to God. Our reading this morning begins with the call of the church to be doing stuff, feeding the hungry, meeting the needs of the afflicted, stopping the speaking of evil and the pointing of fingers. But this list of things to do is entirely bound up in the latter portion of today's reading, which tells us to dwell in the holy and loving presence of God. For if we do not know to whom we belong, we cannot possibly do the work of God's kingdom on this earth. In the coming months, as we turn over into fall, we, the people of Memorial, will be doing a lot of talking about what stuff we are going to do as the incredible body of Christ that we are called to be. But it is my deep and earnest prayer that we also commit to deeply understand why God has commanded work such as feeding and caring for the other, and that we could trust the command to go and do these things and know that it in no way changes the love of God that has already been given to us, nor does it determine our identity in God's kingdom. Our place in God's everlasting kingdom has once and for all been claimed in the cross of Christ. And by his grace alone, do we even dare to approach the commands of God and worship in God's house? If you were meeting with Sister Helen today, what Sabbath direction might she be pointing you in? What keeps you from trusting and resting in God's presence? As you consider those questions, I want to share a quote that I stumbled upon a couple of weeks ago. Pastor Kara Root is a local pastor who leads a congregation in St. Paul, and they have a unique worship rhythm. They worship twice a month on Sunday mornings, and then twice a month they worship on Saturday evenings for a brief, quiet worship that marks the beginning of Sabbath. And the entire community is invited to take a 24-hour period after that Saturday night worship to rest and delight in God's holy day. And she wrote this about this church's discovery of the Sabbath. She says, "Sabbath promises that when we stop and rest, God will remind us whose we are and help us remember who we are. In bold defiance, Sabbath calls us to regularly step out of the mentality of constant anxiety and relentless productivity and into God's reality of fearless belonging and satisfied enough. For all of the plans we will make as a church and all the plans you make for your future, I hope God's reality of fearless belonging and satisfied enough will be your grounding foundation. May all of our Sabbaths be so honoring that we can engage in the liberating and healing work of Christ in our world. Amen."